To Sarah and Summer and Lainey. I'm STD Noor. We'll be talking again next week. It's gonna be a pledge drive. Bye. With information that would never be reported. Disregard the mainstream.
Media distorted. We come and listen and supported. You're listening to WRT Madison. With information that would never be reported. Disregard the mainstream. Wow! I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. So good, so good. I got a year. Wow, I feel nice. A sugar and spice. I feel nice. A sugar and spice.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to the Mel and Floyd Summer Replacement Show. I'm Mel. Floyd is on assignment, but with us, as always, the man who knows everything, Mr. Smarty Pants.
Hey, you know, I got something kind of exciting to share with the listeners.
Oh, this will be great.
We have two bells now.
Ice cream, get your ice cream.
I don't know why there are two bells in here. We always have one bell. You know, yeah. When you say something especially amusing,
yes.
We ring the bell.
Right,
you know?
Right.
That's just the way it goes.
Yeah.
Just, there it is. Yeah. But now we got...
Wow. You just sound like...
Isn't that great?
Liberace over there.
Wish my brother George was here. You know, how you doing?
Good.
I have to ask people this all the... We're all asking each other this all the time. How you doing? It's always and. There's always this and part. It's
yeah.
Like, well, on the one hand, on the other hand, you know, you just like... Just want to have one hand.
I read this article about... How it was in the Soviet Union, and it was sort of, and it was making parallels to,
sure.
to what we're going through, and saying things were falling apart. That you know, nothing was, it was getting more. Everything was getting worse gradually.
Sure.
But people still, you have to go on with your day to day lives,
right.
And so people had this kind of dichotomy where it's like, yeah, I know things are collapsing, but you know, I'm out.
The lilacs are in bloom.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, yeah. And that's what you have to do to stay sane.
I know.
Well, I've got some. I'm very exciting news for me.
Okay.
And I got new
license. Well, it's all about you.
It's all about me.
Yeah.
So, no, I got some new license plates.
Okay.
And that's not terribly exciting, except they have a woolly mammoth on them.
Really?
Yes. It's the Ice Age Trail specialized plates. A few weeks ago, I was driving home from the station, and
sure.
I was behind a car at a red light, and I saw they had these really cool Ice Age plates with a woolly mammoth, which I, as you know, I love. And I said, well, I got to have those. So I went home and immediately ordered them.
Yeah.
And then they're on my car now. And it's nice. It's kind of like a little splash of blue, a little splash of yellow. They're very, very cute. And I'm just assuming this part, but I think with those now, I can actually drive on the Ice Age Trail, which will make it a lot more efficient. Because walking is so slow. It's like,
only if you have a giant SUV.
Yeah. Well, I'm an American. Yeah. I don't know about you. So
I was just reading about the megafauna, the disappearance of megafauna.
Love the megafauna.
They love the megafauna. We all love the megafauna. But, you know, the disappearance is, there's still room for debate on this, but many people hypothesize that wherever humans went, the megafauna disappeared.
Hmm.
That was the salient factor. It wasn't anything other than that. Humans like, oh, that's a lot of good eating. You know? So the minute we show up, that's the end of that. So, oh, we have a guest.
Hi. Hang on here.
Hey, guest.
Hi.
Hello there.
Who are you?
Oh, well, you can call me Saga.
Saga?
Saga.
Okay. As my mic moves higher and higher away from me.
Is that because you're interminable or what is that?
And it's an old nickname from some friends who abbreviated parts of my name.
Oh, okay.
No,
oh,
okay.
So. All right.
It's not an acronym. It's not like they're calling Trump Taco now.
Oh,
it's
are they? What does it stand for?
But they're ruining
Trump the... always chickens out.
Yeah.
Okay. I think he doesn't like it because it's taco. That's what's upsetting him.
wasn't he really into taco salads for a while?
Was he?
He posted a picture one time. It was a taco salad they sold at Trump Tower, and he said it's the best taco salad
in
the world. But some reporter asked him about the acronym. Because Wall Street came up with it, because they figured, well, we don't have to worry about these tariffs because he always backs down. And and Trump said, well, that's a nasty question. It's like, you know, I mean, he was appalled that somebody would come up with a nasty, you know, a derogatory nickname for someone, you know. So Saga, what do you got for us? You said you had treats.
I have treats today. I brought in some little delicacies from my garden. It's a chive butter, chive blossom butter.
Oh, heavens above.
I didn't make the butter and I didn't make the chives.
But you combine them. So it's a mashup.
A little bit.
That counts as creativity these days, so you're fine.
Did you use AI to help you with it?
Yeah, it was very helpful.
Well, it looks lovely. I love the packaging because you see exactly what you're getting.
Yes, it's wrapped in cellophane.
Yes. Thank you for explaining that to the listeners. Right.
Yeah, so you can see the little purple chive blossoms, which I took off the flower.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's cute. And kind of mashed it all in there with some salt and pepper. It's very good on some toast or like a little garlic bread situation. So the beautiful purple flowers will also give you onion breath. You're in luck.
So it's a win-win-win.
Yeah, and this is radio.
Well, I think that deserves our new bell.
No, look at that. The two bell.
Thank you so much.
A two bell.
We used
salute.
To only have one, but now we've got this whole action going on.
Oh, you're giving me like my childhood in the evangelical church where everybody played the handbells.
Oh, no.
Ding, 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 ding.
Oh, dear. I thought that it would give you the sense of like waiting for ice cream or something. I'm sorry it brings back.
That was not my childhood.
You did not have ice cream in your childhood?
You grew up in an evangelical church?
I did, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
What was your denomination?
A Baptist.
That doesn't tell me anything. There's like 75 different kinds of Baptists. Yeah. What kind?
Southern.
Oh, Southern, yeah.
She whispers Southern.
So I grew up in Eastern Kentucky, and we had at least, I think, maybe 6 or 7 different subgroups of subgroups in that area. So the Free Will Baptist. Were you guys Free Will Baptists?
Oh, no, I've not heard of that.
You know what that is?
I know what free will is.
Yeah. Yeah, of course you do.
And
they had that bludgeoned into you. No, it's a strain of Baptists who were Armenians. Now, not like the country Armenia, but a name of a guy that did not believe in predestination. So if you want to expand your knowledge of Baptist theology, look at the Free Will Baptist.
Well, if you're interested, next Tuesday on A Public Affair, I'm hosting a scholar of religion.
Yes.
We're going to talk about the morality, I suppose the religion of tax paying in America.
I thought Jesus had a comment on that one.
I think he sure did. And you'd be surprised at how many folks are tax dodgers on all sides of the political spectrum.
I wouldn't be.
No. And you wouldn't be surprised how many of them go to jail.
Wow. So what's the name of this individual, since we're doing a little forward promotion here?
Here's some forward promotion. Ruth Bronstein, and her book is called My Tax Dollars.
Oh, cool.
And from 12 to 1 next Tuesday on A Public Affair.
Oh,
we'll get
nice.
Down to it.
Very nice.
Yeah.
So when I was in grade school, I went to public school. Mm-hmm. I was Catholic, but we had
had a lot of bells.
We had a lot of bells. Yeah. we put one around the priest so we could hear him coming.
Oh, dear.
Here comes Father Speck. Run.
Yeah, right.
But in public school, we used to have this folk dancing class that everybody hated because it was like. We hated dancing and touching icky girls and stuff like that. But the Baptist, there was a Angela something, was a Baptist and didn't have to dance. She could just sit in the corner and read while we had to go do the icky dance classes.
Was Saga a dancer? Were you a dancer?
There wasn't much dancing, really. I don't... No.
No.
So my parents belonged to a sect that was so... primitive, as they called it, you know, back in the day, that they did not think that men should wear wristwatches because they considered it jewelry. So you had to have pocket watches. I still have my dad's pocket watch. I keep that with me today. Mm-hmm. He's passed. Mm-hmm. But it's just that was their thing. You couldn't, and women were not allowed to cut their hair. That was also considered bad. Mm-hmm. So because apparently in Song of Solomon it says a woman's hair is her glory or something like that.
Yeah. They're very literal, aren't they?
Yeah, they really are. They really are. So, Saga, tell us about yourself. I don't know anything about you.
You don't know anything about me?
Nothing, nothing.
I have a garden.
Yeah, well, that we knew.
Yeah, I've got that. I used to work on a farm, and it was hard work, let me tell you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I had a permanent tramp stamp sunburn experience. That's real important to know about me. I think I'm connecting gardening with my religious upbringing. I don't know if y'all are familiar with the cartoon Veggie Tales.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's a singing vegetables that tell Bible stories.
Right.
It's actually not bad.
I've known some of those vegetables.
For what it is, it's not bad. It's pretty entertaining.
Yeah. And, you know. It's cute. You learn the songs. But I was looking up based on the garden that I put in this year, and I learned I'd put some plants together that actually shouldn't be together, that they're plant enemies. Have you heard of plants that don't like each other?
Yeah. No, I have not.
Yeah, well, here I've got
Is it in Leviticus? Because that's where I get my instructions from.
No, you can't put two plants of the same type together.
Yeah. Two carrots together, no way.
How does that even work?
Yeah, how's that going to work? Yeah. Get it.
They're very literal.
were you going somewhere with that? You looked like you were looking
plant friends and plant enemies.
Did we distract you?
Well, I went to the best source I could find, MarthaStewart.com.
Sure.
We worship Martha.
Well, I went there to find out what plants befriend each other, and I have planted my lettuce next to my garlic, apparently
history's greatest monster.
Error.
This is a very controversial way to introduce yourself on the show here. She does what?
Well, no, I understand that because I've got a walnut tree in my front yard, and I've planted last year. I planted probably 100 bulbs by it, and none of them grew. And then, I looked it up after the fact that a lot of bulbs don't like the walnut. It's, I don't know, it poisons the soil
or
something.
Yeah, there's something that comes off the leaves when it rains
that
interesting.
Becomes toxic.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a pH factor or toxic or what, but I've got nothing out of that. And so I probably should have done that before I decided to plant 100 things there.
You learn as you go, and I have communicated to you very clearly that I am a mediocre gardener in this interaction today. So that's what
I've tried to raise mediocre, but I can't quite make it.
So way back when I lived in Duluth, we tried to have a garden, and the ground up there is pretty much sand. And it was the most pathetic garden you ever saw. We had these tiny little tomatoes that were, like the size of a dime by the end of the summer, and some onions that we just threw away. I mean, it was just pathetic. And
it's fun just to watch something grow a little, struggle a little.
Yeah.
So are there veggie buddies? Are there veggie buddies?
There
ones
are
that really
buddies.
go well together.
Yeah, like you've heard probably of the tomato and marigold combo.
No.
Oh, yeah. Well,
they jumped over the moon or something.
So now, why is that good? Why is that?
Well, the marigolds help repel the pests.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Oh,
sure.
Right.
The aphids and things like that.
Oh, very good.
Yeah. And I think one reason you keep some plants apart is because they attract the same kind of pests. So the more in concentration you have of something, the more likely you'll attract the thing you don't
So
want.
Break it up over there. Basically. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
And Martha has, I'm not surprised Martha knows these things.
Martha knows.
So where are you from originally, Saga?
I'm from Texas. I grew up in Houston, Texas.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Big city.
Texas is just kind of like the U.S., but more so, right?
How so?
Biggest hands and biggest hearts, biggest various body parts, biggest liars anywhere, right? It's just like the rest of us, except more.
More, yeah. Now they have more Bible there. They passed
You ever been to Bible Hardware?
Bible Hardware?
You ever been to Bible Hardware?
Tell me more.
It's deep in the spleen of Texas.
Is that the panhandle?
Yeah. No, it's a place. Look it up online. They have Bible Hardware. I hope they still exist now that I've said that. They have Bible verses on all the different tools that you can buy there, including on hammers. And the worst is, of course, they have a nail that says Jesus wept on it, on the nail head.
Oh my God.
So I think their intent is to sacralize life, but instead they've made banal Bible verses by putting them on everyday objects. I don't know. It's
the sacred becomes mundane.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right. I think that's what happened. Anyway, you should go to Bible Hardware. I think it's in Abilene.
Bible. Indeed, it is an apple. Yeah.
You thought I was kidding, didn't you? You didn't know there was a Bible.
Well, you know, the next time I'm in Abilene.
Yeah, which is going to be like, it's going to be the century.
It's like next to never.
Next to never, okay. So where in Houston did you live?
Do you know much about the city?
No, I'm just going to, I want to hear where you were from. Then I'll look it up right away after that.
Yeah, I grew up like at 290 in the Loop.
290 and where's my pen?
Yeah, write it down. You'll never forget it.
All right.
But I went to college at the University of Houston, lived there for a long time. It's a good city for food, for music, for being hot. It's a steamy place.
There's no vegetation there, right? In Houston, it's all concrete.
Yeah. We got a lot of concrete, but it's also, the city was built on a wetland, so it's a very swampy kind of marshy place.
Oh, so it's hot and humid.
Hot and humid.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
The best of both.
Yeah. What else do you want to know?
Well, Texas,
How'd you get up here?
There's a bill introduced in Texas where they want to show the make it mandatory to put the Ten Commandments up in schools.
Yeah,
so.
Thou shalt not.
Which version? Yeah. There's three different versions, by the way. There's 17 injunctions, but they parse them out in different ways.
Okay. Well, we'll have to see.
Yeah, which one they figure out.
I think they just put all the religious people in a room and just say, okay, you figure out which version and come back to us.
Because that worked really well.
when you decide.
A lot of agreement there.
Well, what's the real one?
Another conclave, shall we?
Did you watch that movie, Conclave?
No. Did you?
I did. And then I was one of those people that they made fun of because when it actually happened and we needed a new pope, there's like someone was joking about all the jerks that are going around saying, if you've seen Conclave, which is exactly what I was doing. Next, they're going to do this with a robe or something. You know, it's like, shut up already. So how'd you get up here? How'd you get up to Madison, Wisconsin?
Yeah, I moved slowly up the center of the U.S. from Texas to Mississippi to here following school and work.
Yeah.
And stuck around here. I've been here for 10 years, you know? That kind of makes it more than just like a passing stop. This is home.
Wow. Well, very good. This is our friend Saga. You're going to sit in with us every once in a while,
yeah.
I hope.
So. Yeah, I'd like to. Thank you.
Cool.
Yeah.
So what are you doing here at the station? You're doing other stuff, right?
Yeah, so currently I'm the talk producer for WORT. That's a part-time position here. I book the noon hour talk shows, midday talk shows, a public affair. And you can hear me sometimes on the radio on a public affair. But I've been a news reporter here. I went with the team and the news department to the conventions last summer, the RNC
thing.
And DNC. Yeah. We got a tattoo to prove it, all of us.
Was it a voluntary tattoo? When you went to the Republicans, they probably were like sign of Satan on you or something. You know?
Yeah, marked.
The beast.
It's kind of a little helicopter thing. There. Yeah, right. You guys got some awards for that too, didn't you? I just saw not too long ago that.
We've gotten a few awards from the Wisconsin Broadcasting Association and the Milwaukee Press Club. Yeah.
Excellent.
Saga, you should come on our show next week to class it up when we're begging for money.
Yeah.
That would be fun. A good thing.
Yeah. Class it up. Please.
Well, I mean, you actually do real work here. You know, we just come in and shoot our mouths off. So, you know, they might get a better sense of the quality that we have at the station.
Sure.
Somebody who does actual work and gets awards for it.
Yeah. So. And you've got a... Do you have a PhD? Do I understand that
right? I do, yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They're nice. Yeah. I have one, too.
Oh, okay.
We have two doctors
Aren't
in the
fun?
House.
What's your PhD in?
I have a degree in literary and cultural studies, and the only time I've used the PhD title is to get an airline ticket when they put the drop down.
Oh,
menu.
Doctor. Is there a doctor on the plane?
Yeah.
Yes, and I'd like to look into the substructure of
this
particular text. Yeah, that's right, exactly.
Yeah.
So I'm in philosophy, which is about as equally valuable. So, yeah.
And we find ourselves here.
Yeah, isn't that odd? I can't imagine why.
Oh. And you do a lot of writing.
I do.
High fantasy, you said.
Yes,
so.
Yes.
Oh, here comes Lainey with a complaint.
No.
It's
a message.
Oh, okay.
Fan mail from some flounders.
She's here 10 minutes. She's getting messages.
Yeah, you know, wow. So. Okay, so somebody who's just returned from Texas. Hold on, let me read it for 1 second. Somebody who says they returned and noticed that there are really high rates of cancer there, even in young people, and thinks it's due to the groundwater. I actually cannot speak to that. I don't know what the groundwater situation is. At what or what particular place this is referring to, but it would be an interesting thing to look up and find out more about.
Yeah. You don't have cancer.
Not currently, I hope.
Let's not use the C word on the air, shall we? My aunt has two close friends who have cancer right now. A lot of cancer going around. Ugh, anyway.
So you write high fantasy. What does that mean?
Yes. So I play Dungeons & Dragons, and I write adventure modules for the game with a friend of mine. And,
oh, wow.
And so that includes some fiction and fan fiction that we write for stuff. You can find us on Dungeon Dropouts. That's our name.
Dungeon what is Dropouts?
It? Dungeon Dropouts.
Dropouts. Okay.
My friend and I, we both left the Ivory Tower. We are.
Do you have some mythical creature that you're especially interested in?
Oh. I don't know, but there's some really fun just fantasy creatures. There's I like to play snails and slugs in my campaigns. characters fight slugs.
What does that mean?
Well, they're just like giant slugs slurp around.
Sure.
As they are wont to do, yes, right. This is, I got to tell you, this is the classic thing. So my spouse was raised fairly religious, and Dungeons & Dragons was one of the things that his mother told him he could never do.
Yeah.
And that was like rebellion. And also, he couldn't listen to contemporary music, and he can only listen to classical music and show tunes, which I think, I blame it all on her.
Yeah, there was that big satanic panic in the 80s.
Oh, yeah. Right. Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah, that's what was going on with him. Yep. Satanic panic. And he made it out to the other side. But not before Satan got his claws in him. So.
Well, I think Dungeons & Dragons is so fun because it's a way that you can tell a story with friends.
Yeah.
I mean, where else are you going to like make believe with people you like?
Yeah.
And you throw in some dice to make the story more about chance and risk, and you throw it all together with some weird creatures like slugs.
Make believe with your friend. I thought that's what social media was.
Those are make believe.
We had the best Thanksgiving ever.
Those are make believe friends.
Oh, okay. I read that too.
Distinction there. So, well, that's the other. It's people doing stuff together. Mm-hmm. They're not looking at screens, and so you know, I'll sound like the typical old boomer guy here, but I was driving through Oregon the other day, and it was right about when school let out, and there were three boys from the middle school, so they were like 11 years old or 12 or whatever, and they're walking down the street together, and every one of them was walking down the street looking at their phone while they were walking. And I was trying to think, you know, like when I was a kid, when we were doing that, we're walking down the street, we're like, you know, giving each other crap and punching each other and, you know, throwing walnuts. Anything violent related, apparently, but you know, but it just seemed odd that they weren't even like talking to each other, and that's not good for humans. So
we'll play a game together. Maybe I'll bring a little mini version of a game on the show, and we could roll some dice and try.
Oh, that'd be
fun. Would be great.
I'm also teaching a class on how to play Dungeons and Dragons this fall. If you're listening and are curious about how to play. I teach at MSCR West, so you can go look at their catalog. As with most rogue PhDs in this town, I have many jobs.
You're not driving an Uber. That's a good thing. Are you?
Not at the moment. I told you I worked on a farm.
And you bike a lot, right?
I do bike a lot. Yeah, the bike paths around here are funny places. I've been yelled at a lot on the bike path.
Really?
In the last, like, this spring.
Who would yell at you? You're adorable.
Well,
you're really lovely.
There are a lot of drunk people on the bike
drunk
path.
People, yeah.
Really?
Well, at least I ran into two of them.
Yeah.
Who were,
are they biking or are they just wandering?
Walking.
Yeah.
Walking.
Yeah. So. You can usually tell where like the broken bottles are. That's, you know.
Well, I was driving through a you know, very rich white neighborhood, and they were, the ladies were out for their afternoon stroll, a couple glasses of wine in, and
the ladies at lunch. Yeah. I had a guy call me the F word one time, and I just yelled back, "Lucky guess."
So this is very important. Uh-huh. Now, when a car lets you cross, when yes. it stops, and do you give them the wave?
I give a wave.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
good.
You're
a good person.
The test?
So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So you got to get the wave. I mean, yeah. that's important. So
I have a little bell on my bike that goes ding, 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 ding. Like yeah. one of these, you could. Yeah.
I'd probably wet my pants if somebody did that behind me. What in the hell? What is going on? I'm having a stroke here. What is that?
Ice cream.
Yeah, ice cream, exactly. That'll be the prelude to the stroke. You know, I got to say that I'm very persnickety about bicyclists mm-hmm. because I was a bicyclist for many years, and I'm always, and I had a friend who, we used to have bike cops in this town, mm-hmm. people that were on bicycles that made sure that we enforced the status, which bicycles have, the status of a vehicle under Wisconsin mm-hmm. law. And I see people do things that are like not good all the time, and I just always, every time I see somebody doing something like that, I always think, you're giving us all a bad name. You realize that, don't you? By doing that. And again, you know, just follow the rules like everybody else does. It'd be really nice. I'm one of those people that don't think that creative driving is a good idea. No, we don't need your particular elan here. We need you to follow the rules.
I'm like a jazz artist. I just improvise.
Yeah, no, just do what you're supposed to. Turn signal, please. Stop at this sign. You know, I mean,
I'm not feeling the turn signal.
You better. So I feel that way sometimes about some of the more creative bicyclists in town.
One time I had a friend from out of town come down, and we went out to lunch, and she drove, and she was from a small town and didn't know how to drive in Madison, and she kind of cut off this one biker, and you know, it wasn't good, but I mean, you know, it wasn't, she didn't hit him or anything, but you know, so, and he was mad, and understandably, and so then she pulled over to let me out so I could go back to work and get out, you know, after lunch, and so I get out of the car, and the guy sees me get out of the car, and he thinks I want to fight him. So he throws his bike down and like comes at me with his like fist doubled up, and I'm just laughing. You want to fight me?
I need to rumble.
No.
Wow, there's a lot of ambient anger.
I know. So, hey, you're listening to the Mel and Floyd Show here on WRT. We're having a little special gab session with our new kind of a new pal, mm-hmm. Saga.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
She's from Houston, and she used to be a Baptist.
But now she gardens.
So we're reaching out to that demographic.
She gardens and devil worships and dances.
Yeah, yeah. In the moonlight.
And that could be you, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Just right. Pledge your life to Satan. Oh, my goodness. So, but we were talking about earlier about... The nickname, the new nickname for Trump, the taco.
Trump always
chickens out. And yeah. And I think I know actually where we got this particular taco.
Here I thought Putin thought that. That was
Satan gave me a taco.
Keen on your soul.
That's not the Beck song. There's a Beck song called Satan Gave Me a Taco, but this is apparently a different song. Okay. So, by the Boppin' Bees. Okay. So several people sent us this article that the grandson of President John Tyler,
yeah,
died this week.
Yeah.
He was 90 years old.
They were long-lived people with that had late marriages.
Yeah. Now Tyler was Tyler in Tippecanoe and Tyler too.
He was. Yeah.
So he was president after Harrison
days. He was the president.
Most underrated president.
Greased
by the way.
The skids for the Mexican-American War. Actually,
yeah.
By
yeah.
Allowing Texas in as a state.
But then he had a kid when he was like 70 something, and then that kid had a kid when he was like in his 60s, and this guy is He's 96, and he just passed away.
But direct connection.
The next president in that, you know, that sequence.
Okay.
That if we go back far back as we can go, is Grover Cleveland has a grandson. Not okay. Groper Cleveland. That's the president, the current president. But so Grover Cleveland has a grandson.
He had a very young wife. Remember that story? That was the supposedly the
thing. Oh, they had the little rhyme.
The Republicans claimed that he had an illegitimate child.
Yeah.
And
where's your pa?
Ma, where's my pa? Was the Republicans chanted. And after Cleveland won, the Democrats chanted back, gone to the White House, ha, ha, ha. So he had a young second wife. Benjamin Harrison did too. When I went to the Harrison house in Indianapolis, Benjamin Harrison has his mansion was there. He married his second marriage was of a younger woman, and she actually kept the house in pretty good order for a while. It was a dance school for a while, an institute for girls, things like that. So it's actually in pretty good shape. They didn't have to do much restoration. But yeah, it's another one that second wife, you know, the trophy wife, I think you say. Did you hear that Trump was talking about trophy wives when he gave his speech at this is just like
West Point,
talking about a complete lack of self-awareness. He's talking about trophy wives. Now, they don't always work out. He got off on some weird Trump tangent.
But he was talking about some guy.
Big guy, strong guy.
He got a trophy wife. And, you know, that's not always a good thing. It's like,
He was talking about Arnold Palmer. And he was talking about, what's the guy, the South African guy that was the golfer that he was going off on? I can't remember his name now. But they were talking about golfers again. But, you know, unlike Arnold Palmer,
Gary
who's
Player.
Known for other... Gary Player, very good. Yeah. He was talking about Gary Player, because all those cadets there at West Point are like, oh, yeah, Gary Player. That's what I want to hear about.
Some golfer from the 60s.
But he was talking about, a little that guy was. It's like, what is your deal, dude? So... Yeah. Golf anecdotes. We try to avoid those whenever possible.
Okay. All right.
In case you got any. I just want to let you know, warn you. You had to look on your face like, I've got several hundred golf anecdotes.
Have you ever played golf?
I used to play golf in high school. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because it was the only sport that would get you out of class for a full day.
It's a great slacker sport, actually. Yeah. I mean, it's the praises of golf. I'm not going to sing, but I just say it's a great slacker sport.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
What I love is that they go around little carts. I work at a institution of higher learning, and I sometimes tease our members of our golf team. As, you know, if like one's in my class, I'll say, "So our, you know, what is golf? I've always had this question: Is golf a sport or is it game or like tiddlywinks or something? You know, just to get a rise out of
what
them.
Do they say?
Well, they usually laugh because they're such slackers. And but anyway, no, I say because you know, after all, like big guys can drive around in carts and don't even have to break a sweat, and they have golf slaves to carry all their stuff for them. And there's even these—I don't know if you know about this—there are even these tees where you can pump it up with your foot, so you don't have to reach down. You don't have to reach down to put the ball on the tee. Mm. Yeah, it's pretty amazing. You know. But they say, "Oh, I don't know." That golfer.
Hey, you're listening to WRT 89.9 FM Madison. This is the Mel and Floyd Show. We're here with Mr. Smarty Pants and our pal Saga today, just kind of chatting, you know, trying to pretend that the world isn't burning.
D&D themed golf.
Oh my God.
Now we're getting somewhere.
Do you golf in costume?
With giant dice you have to roll. You know?
There you go. Now we're talking.
I might have to run soon, but I will bring a game the next time and we'll play.
Yes.
That would be so cool.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. We'll stop in next week when we're doing fundraising.
Ooh.
If you want. So, bring us more butter. You like kind of balling things up because I gave you some honey one day and you said, I can use this to ball up some...
I made little hot balls.
Yeah.
Excellent.
With herbs for my sinuses. Okay, maybe more soon. Thank you so much.
Hey, it was great to talk to you. All right, we're going to take a brief break and then come back with some news and stuff.
Yeah.
So, how's that sound?
Some kind of stuff.
Okay, thanks for listening. We'll be back in about 2 minutes.
Yeah. Support for this program comes from WORT's listener sponsors and Isthmus Newspaper. Isthmus is back on newsstands the first Thursday of every month, and now a nonprofit. Isthmus continues to expand its independent coverage of local government, the arts, and all things Madison at isthmus.com.
WORT thanks its listener sponsors and the Wine and Hop Shop, located at 1919 Monroe Street, specializing in home brewing and winemaking supplies for over 40 years. Open to in-person shopping or order online for curbside pickup, in-Madison delivery and shipping of supplies at wineandhop.com.
The WORT Board of Directors announces the WORT Annual Meeting on Sunday, June 29th from 2 to 5 p.m. in the Vinyl Library at WORT Studios, 118 South Bedford Street. The public is welcome to attend. Hear reports from the President, Treasurer, and staff. Candidates in this year's election will also have a chance to speak before the qualified volunteers vote for the new 2025-26 Board of Directors. Votes will be counted at 5 p.m. The annual meeting will also be virtual. For Zoom login information, contact President Stu Levitin at president@wortfm.org.
And we're back.
So I watched King Charles give his speech to the Canadian Parliament. That was kind of fun.
What did he say?
You know, it's just interesting to watch a person who speaks in measured tones and doesn't say anything bizarre. It's the, like a major leader that doesn't seem like they're suffering from some kind of strange mental illness.
I realized that the other day, and this is not an original thought, but, you know, I got up in the morning. I usually look at the news a little bit after I get up, and I realized it's like, you know, I remember those days when I wasn't terrified to open the news and see what the hell happened while I was sleeping. I mean, it's just, you know, it was nice to have things be kind of boring for a while.
Well, and then there's two levels to it, because there's the level of what you're saying, policy and how things are, you know, how many people have just died because we got rid of USAID, right?
Right,
like that. But there's also just the eye-rolling stupidity of it all, you know. He goes off on one of his crazy tangents, and, I mean, that is the emperor with no clothes on right there. And they're all saying, oh, look at his gorgeous outfit, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I don't, you know, what he says, I've gotten kind of immune to his rambling. But what you just mentioned, the reaction of the toadies saying, well, that was the most brilliant thing I ever heard. Oh, he's playing four-dimensional chess. Oh, he's, and, you know, and even like the New York Times, and not even, but I mean, the New York Times, he'll ramble about tariffs or whatever, and Arnold Palmer, and then the New York Times will have a headline saying, Trump outlines economic plan, you know? It's like, no, he didn't.
Five-year-old creates masterpiece. We're going to put that on the refrigerator. Like, okay, whatever. I mean, I know we all love him, you know, but, well, the king was interesting because he got a kind of a rise out of people. Again, he's, you know, he's British. He's got a very plummy speech. He knows how to speak French. He learned it when he was a kid, you know.
I didn't vote for him.
Yeah, nobody did. That's the whole idea. But anyway, he got to the end of his speech. It was like the second to last thing he said. And he said, as the anthem reminds us, and that means, oh, Canada, the true north is indeed strong and free. And there was, I was watching it online, and there was like a rumble in the room, and people were just stood up and started applauding crazily. So mission accomplished. The prime minister wanted, you know, the king to come and say, look, you guys can't have this thing. It actually belongs to these folks, you know. One thing I had to say, though, I was looking at the New York, you mentioned the Times. I was looking at the New York Times coverage, and they were describing Charles as, and this is an exact quote, sitting in an ornate chair. And I'm like, okay, that's called a throne. You know, like, do you have a thesaurus there? Was AI not in operation that day? What was going on? An ornate chair. It's called a throne, okay? It's called, literally, in Canada, the throne speech, not the ornate chair speech.
It's not like a lazy boy or something. It's
a throne, okay? It's just a throne.
He's sitting there with the ottoman on, putting his feet up.
Oh,
my goodness. So, Yeah. Iowa Senator Joni Ernst.
Excuse me.
she had a town hall event, which a lot of them don't do anymore.
Yeah,
for obvious reasons.
Yes, exactly.
She said her constituents should think big picture about the Medicaid cuts in the quote big beautiful bill that the House Republicans passed last week.
Sure.
She tried to justify the cuts, which are expected to kick at least 10 million people off the health care program.
Wow.
During this town hall. And an attendee yelled out, "People are going to die." And then she responded, "Well, we're all going to die."
"Let them die," as Scrooge said, "and decrease the surplus population."
"We are all going to die."
Yeah, so that's the plan.
And so we know it's a death cult.
we get it.
That's how those end. You bring out the Flavor Aid.
Flavor Aid. Thank you for getting the product right. This is the attention to detail that I expect and enjoy from you. Yes, Flavor Aid. Don't say Kool Aid.
They didn't
drink the Kool Aid. They drank the Flavor Aid.
That's right. So, well, speaking of Canada, they are exporting something to us now. Smoke.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, it's our annual wall of smoke from Canada down here. So we can look forward to that. It's going to hit us later tonight.
I hate that.
Tomorrow night it's going to increase.
It really bothers me.
It's pretty intense.
Yeah,
One year I was up north, like by Bayfield, when that was really bad.
Sure.
It was choked you. It was,
yeah. Yikes.
So, we've got the Canadian Wall of Smoke coming down pretty soon. So,
I don't know if you heard, but they did a tally of basically how many sort of, natural disasters? Here, if I can find the story. I did not prepare for that very well here. Where's my story? let's see. Well, the glaciers. 27. 27 was the number of billion-dollar weather and climate disasters in the 2024 calendar year.
Is that a lot?
Yep, that is a lot. There have been more frequent. So these natural disasters have been more frequent, more destructive. There were 27 billion-dollar weather and climate disasters compared with 3 in 1980. And, you mentioned earlier about, I don't want to be an old boomer or whatever, but, just because things are moving along in time doesn't mean they're getting better. it's really not the case. This is according to data collected by the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. But the interesting thing about that is the agency was told this month that they're no longer going to be keeping track of the cost of extreme weather events. So you're going to have to consult insurance companies, I guess. The administration has been making cuts, of course, to the National Weather Service and is downsizing FEMA. And NOAA, of course, has also been in their sights. But we're not going to be able to have an accurate count of how much money climate change is basically costing us because the government has decided, you're telling us that we've spent $27 billion on weather-related problems, probably most likely caused by climate change. Well, you know what? We'll just stop counting that. So that's their answer.
This is what it was like about 100 years ago. We didn't have a lot of these government safety programs or agencies or things that even things that just kept track of stuff, that counted stuff. And when the government needed information, they would just go to like manufacturers and businesses and say, that's how we got like the lead levels that were established back then. It's like they asked the people, the gasoline companies and the automakers, it's like, what would be a good level of lead? And they go, well, it's like, I don't know, like a lot. How's that sound? Okay.
Yeah, exactly. How many rat hairs can we have in the ketchup? Oh, well.
Well, the free market corrects that because then people would complain and not buy that ketchup anymore after they die.
Yeah, after a few of them did.
Right? Yeah.
Well, the Trump administration is basically going back to, they've said more than once that McKinley was their model.
Yeah.
And of course, McKinley would look at things like government control and go, WTF, right? I mean, it's like, what are you talking about? Information. Yeah. Although you have to be careful with this because what's really striking about the Trump administration's war on government is some of the agencies, some of the entities that they're going after have a long history of entities that have been created by the Republican Party, including the Weather Bureau, including the Education Department, which originally was the Office of Education, which was created under Abraham Lincoln. You go to the Department of Labor. I mean, there's a lot of these entities that were created under Republican administrations back in the day.
EPA and Nixon.
Yeah, exactly. So it's weird, but you can go all the way back to the 19th century and see some of these things that they're basically trotting on. That,
yeah.
You know, even with the before the Gilded Age, you know, these things were vibrant, and now we're destroying them. Everybody's heard now, I'm sure, by this point, that picture that the president was showing to President Ramaphosa of South Africa, which was supposedly justification for the idea that there is a white-directed genocide in South Africa, came from the Congo War. It wasn't even, like, it was obvious that this was not true. But it's kind of bizarre, because you get to the point where you realize, okay, they're not just mistaken about this, or this is not a dubious thing. This is just disinformation. And the difference between disinformation and misinformation is I got it wrong. You know, it's questionable. We don't know. There's views on both sides. Disinformation is when you're just lying, basically.
Yeah,
when you're just putting out stuff to try to, and putting it out continuously to try to trick people into believing things.
Right. Well, and there's a corollary to that, too, with authoritarians, is to never admit you're wrong.
Right. So. Yep. It's tattoos right on his hand there. I saw the picture. Why are you being so nasty?
This week, the Robert F. Kennedy Jr. came up with kind of a plan for Make America Healthy.
Yeah.
And they cited a whole bunch of studies in this plan. And it turned out a lot of them didn't exist because they used AI to come up with it to do their assignment.
If that's the excuse. I can tell you from doing research on these kinds of guys that they often create false
just
evidence.
On their own.
Or they'll cite institutes that are like in-house stuff, or they'll take a passage from something that isn't real or whatever. You know, if you actually do the dirty work to look into some of their citations and these pseudoscientific things they create, there's a pattern there way before AI.
So,
so they're probably like, AI's making it up. Oh, that's fine. Easier, better them than us. It's easier for us. AI just does it.
Just made it easier to.
So one thing I found out about this week, and you know, you may have thought of this already, and I can't always figure out how crazy these people are, but there's that whole thing about there not being enough gold in Fort Knox. Do you know the story of this?
Yeah.
So it's the typical thing. They're lying about this. This is a whole, you know, kind of cottage industry in Fort Knox gold denial. Because they want to make money. People who are trying to sell gold.
Does it drive up the price of gold?
Donald Trump Jr., who has his own gold company. They're trying to Birch Gold and some of these other corporate entities. They're trying to get people to buy gold. And so if they try to get people to think that there's not enough gold in Fort Knox, then that means that the value of gold, after they find there's some missing, will go up because the supply will be lower than is claimed. And so it's a way for them. They're lying about it. And, of course, Trump is lying because his son's involved, which means the whole family's involved, as a way of basically getting people to buy more gold. And a number of companies, they call it the gold IRA, right? So Trump destroys your actual IRA, and so they want you to buy gold, and of course he's in that up to his nose. And so this is what they're doing. I thought he was just going to go there and slip a few bars into his pocket or something, you know, and claim there wasn't anything there. But it turns out it's more insidious even than that. According to Lear Capital, a gold company that's promoted by Glenn Beck, calls for a Fort Knox audit grow louder. Investors should stay informed and consider their exposure to gold as part of a diversified portfolio.
Yeah. That goes way back when, with all of the right wing media, they've been into selling gold forever.
Okay. Yeah. Well, the last time we were on the gold standard was the McKinley administration. In fact, that was his opponent, William Jennings Bryan.
Mankind will not be crucified
on a cross of gold.
Oh, okay. Tax cheat gets Trump pardoned after mom attends $1 million Mar-a-Lago fundraiser.
Yeah, and a hand job. So they're just
It's just so blatant.
Oh, man.
I mean, there's several stories like this where they so and so, you know, bought a bunch of crypto and then they got a pardon or somebody there.
Makes me really want to play D&D.
Yeah.
Where's Saga when we need her? Come on.
What's interesting about the pardons is, you know, you think of, okay, gets these people out of prison, which, you know, that's a good thing for them. I mean, from their point of view, it's like, oh, good, I got out of prison. But also, most of these, because they're white collar fraud, there's a lot of restitution tied to their sentence.
Sure.
And it might be millions and millions of dollars that they stole.
Right.
And when you're pardoned, you don't have to pay the restitution.
Oh, wow.
So
I didn't even think of that.
Yeah. So these pardons are costing the government millions and millions of dollars while they're lining the Taco's pockets there.
But, Taco. Hey, threats against federal judges have gone up since Trump came into office. This is according to internal data compiled by the U.S. Marshals Service. The Marshals Service, by the way, those are the guys and gals that protect the judges. In the five-month period leading up to March 1st of this year, 80 individual judges had received threats, according to data. Then over the next 6 weeks, so the 5 months leading up to March 1st, then over the next 6 weeks, starting on March 1st, an additional 162 judges received threats, which is a pretty big increase. And, of course, a lot of that has to do with a lot of harsh rhetoric coming from the president of these United States. Many judges have already spoken out about this. They're worrying about the possibility of violence. It's what we call vigilanteism. You have the appearance, obviously, of a democratic system, but behind the scenes, threats are what's guiding policy and decision making. Since mid-April, the pace of the threats has slowed slightly, according to the data. So between the 14th and the 27th of May, 14th of April and 27th of May, only 33 additional individual judges have received threats. But that means the total number of judges threatened this fiscal year, that means July 1st to June 30th, has been 277. And that's a third of the federal judiciary.
Wow. Yeah, there's this tactic they use just to intimidate judges now. Well, they'll send a pizza to their house to show them that they know where they live and they know where their family is.
What kind of pizza do they send?
Yeah, well, that's the
that's the important part. Do they send ham and pineapple?
Yeah, probably. No, that kicks into the terrorist category
That's you're out.
I had an original thought on some of this stuff this week. So
okay.
Some of this, I don't often get original thoughts.
Yes,
but
you do. But
I was thinking about, you know, a lot of these cuts are aimed at older people, you know, the people who are out of the workforce. And some of these things are kind of trying to drive people back into the workforce.
Sure,
or
make them enslaved to the workforce.
Make them enslaved or something. And I got curious about how many seniors spend their time volunteering somewhere at a nonprofit. And it turns out it's a huge amount.
Yep.
That seniors are something like 57% of the time donated, 55%. And so when you do these things, there are implications for nonprofits, which we, you know, I mean, there's all kinds of nonprofits, but in general, we think of, you know, things that are positive, that help your community, that help society, and those hours won't be available if some of these things kick in, or if they start, you know, like killing people earlier, as Joni Ernst apparently wants to do. So there's all these weird ripple effects of when you start doing
and
things
that's
like
only
this.
That only serves the cause, right? I mean, if
well, they, sure,
you know, from the I don't know, you know, Elon Musk point of view, whoever in that area, whoever in that administration has a brain, evil though it is like, oh yeah, we can get those poor people both ways, you know, we can directly affect them or indirectly affect
them. Get
them
out of wart there, where they're stirring up trouble. Yeah. But speaking of those guys, the Musk, there was a story this week. I hate to gossip. You know how much I hate to gossip.
Scum, no, Elon
no,
scum.
No, actually, I love to gossip. And we all do, admit it. But there's a story that Stephen Miller's wife,
he has a wife?
Yeah, she was working in the White House. She was like doing some Nazi political analysis stuff or something, you know, policy analysis.
Wow.
And anyway,
I'd love to be a fly on the wall in that relationship.
There's a story that, but she left the White House and now she's working for Musk.
Yeah.
And there are stories that she and Musk are doing more than working together. Hold on to your lunch here, but I've some of the stories I've read that they've used the word thruple involving them.
I thought their species reproduced parthenogenically.
I've read a little bit about, you know, the history. It's like he really has a wife. I thought he just like summoned up a succubus or something, but it turns out they had a really like a nice meet cute when they first met.
Okay.
They were both in the mall at a shoe store, and their hands kind of brushed each other when they both reached for the same pair of jack boots.
Well, at least it wasn't at a slaughterhouse.
Well, then, you know, then there was love at first sight. Yeah, they went out,
their,
you know,
first date.
Yeah. They went out in the park poisoning pigeons together. Yeah,
exactly.
The jaguar's here.
Meow.
Hurrah.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
You sound like Uncle Leo from Seinfeld. Hello.
Taco man.
Oh, let's see. Dr. Oz wants to adopt a bunch of sick Canadian ostriches.
Yeah.
400 Canadian birds.
They have bird flu.
They have bird flu, and they're going to destroy them.
And they just ended the contract with Moderna to develop a bird flu.
Yeah. Yeah, but Dr. Oz says he would take them.
Oh, good. So,
but you know, of course, it's illegal to transport.
Yeah.
You know, sick animals across the border. But he could probably cure them with I don't know, silver treatments or something.
That's probably what it would be. Hey, there's going to be 18-wheelers on the drive on the highways with no drivers.
Oh God!
Very shortly. There's already, apparently down in Texas, there's already trucks that are driving with nobody. They're sitting in the back like watching YouTube or whatever, but the truck is driving around all on its own. Autonomous trucks could solve a lot of problems facing American shipping, which of course is usually having to pay people to do things, having to pay the organ sacks. You don't want to do that.
This will solve a lot of problems for management.
This will solve a lot of problems, yeah. I saw a story today, then this is speculative, but I saw a story today, they're saying that a lot of graduates are having a hard time finding jobs, and they think that low-level jobs are already being replaced by AI.
Right.
But so the new trucks, they won't need sleep, they won't speed, and they won't get into road rage. That's true. But also, if they don't see anything, they'll just run it right over. So it's got the upside on that one, too. That's a Stephen Miller approved.
Had to be an armadillo down there.
Yeah.
So, a UK woman has caught her husband cheating, and the instrument she used to sniff out this cheating was his electric toothbrush.
Indeed.
His electronic toothbrush. And this is in Britain, so this guy's got a toothbrush, which is
That's the, you're burying the lead.
There's a story there. No, it's a brush that it's a smart brush.
Okay.
So it keeps track of when you use it.
Okay.
And she was starting to get a little suspicious of this guy. And she found out, she noticed she could look at the app and saw that he was like brushing his teeth like at 10:30 on Friday mornings when he was supposed to be at work, things like that.
Yeah.
And it turned out that he would always like get up and go, I'm going to work on Fridays. Turned out he hadn't worked on Fridays for forever.
Oh my God.
And he was having his girlfriend come over and they were having little romps and then he'd brush his teeth afterwards.
Well, that was polite of him.
So, or maybe before, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
But then his wife caught him cheating because of the toothbrush. So,
yeah.
So watch out for your smart devices there. They'll get you.
Yeah,
every time.
This is the Mellon Floyd tips to the wise here.
How to cheat.
You must cheat. I just want to mention real quickly that a friend of the show, Samara Kalk Derby, had a wonderful article this week about the smart studios, the very famous smart studios, which is only a few blocks from where we live. You know, this is where the Nirvana album Nevermind was produced. So it's a nice little article talking about the neighborhood, what the building was used for, where it came from, and so on. So if you get a chance to check out the State Journal this week, either paper version or online, look for the Home bears hallmarks of its music-making past by Samara Kalk Derby.
Oh, very cool. So, all right, it's time for us to declare the weekend. Enjoy the weekend. It's going to get hot, I think.
That's, a little bit.
Yeah, that's my...
It's going to be smoky, that's what I've heard. Hot and smoky.
So don't breathe.
Yeah, so don't breathe, whatever you do. Just hold your breath the whole weekend. For my part, I'm going to enjoy this butter. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put it on everything. And I say everything, I mean everything.
I mean everything. All right, well, stick around. The Kiosk is next. After that, Who Cooks Free with the Real Jaguar, Amy Goodman, Democracy Now!, Labor Radio, Blues, Friday on My Mind. All kinds of great stuff here on your favorite radio station, WORT. Pants, was great to see you.
You too, buddy.
And Saga, thanks for stopping in and saying
that
hi.
That was great.
It was good to kind of get to know you a little bit. And we are going to be back next week. It's a fundraiser, so save up your pennies.
Yeah, exactly.
So, all right, we'll see you next week. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Take your pants off home. It looks much better time. My feet will keep going. Girl!
This is the Insurgent Radio Kiosk for Friday, May 30th.
This is Bird Note. I'm Deja Perkins, an urban ecologist. Growing up in Chicago, I remember seeing a lot of house sparrows in my neighborhood, downtown, and even inside the McDonald's at Navy Pier. While my classmates shrieked in terror at the little birds flying around the restaurant looking for food, I recall looking at them in fascination, wondering how they got here. The house sparrow is native to Eurasia and North Africa. However, these birds were forced to adapt to many places around the world. They were brought to the U.S. by way of Brooklyn in 1851 to control pesky caterpillars. House sparrows now live in cities on nearly every continent, where they get hate for being urban pests. But I admire these birds and can't help but see parallels between house sparrows and the story of my own ancestors. Taken from their home range and spread throughout the world for a purpose, forced to adapt, and now they thrive. A true story of resilience. This week is Black Birders Week. To learn how to participate